Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled Playlist. This sermon series teaches how songs can help us connect to the reality of God and inspire us to live the Christian life. Today's sermon title, Songs of Faith. Open your Bible to Psalm 118, verses 5 through 9, and let's begin.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are so faithful and you are so good to us. God, we thank you for the exciting day today that we have as a church. And Father, we know it's just a taste of all the good work that you want to do in us and you want to do through us in the coming months and the coming years. And I pray, Father, that you could just meet us now today, re-strengthen us, renew us, remind us about how good you are. Help us to respond differently to the pains and the struggles and the pressures of life, Lord. Help us to call out to you, to respond with faith, to bless even those that wrong us. And we pray you would guide us in all this. In Jesus' good name, amen. Well, church, it's so good to be with you. Is there something going on after the 11 today or something? I don't. I hope that you can come back and enjoy the Fall Fest. It's going to be a really good time. And before I get into the message today, I want to update you about a pretty important thing. In our church life going forward is we have been trying to lock down that land on Archer Road and Chestnut Ridge there. And we have been working with the city of North Ridgeville to get that sewer connection. That's the big thing that we need. So basically, this whole issue has to go before city council and they have to, you know, talk about it and do all the dog and pony show with it and whatnot. And I would like to invite you to be there to show that this is an issue people care about. That there are people that want to see the church there, that will support the church there. If you live in North Ridgeville, just tell me what I have to do to get you there, okay? I'll buy you Chipotle. I'll wash your car. I'll walk your dog. Whatever. I'll take your cat out for, but October 29th at 7 p.m., it's at North Ridgeville City Hall, and we want to fill that room with people. So if you live in North Ridgeville, absolutely please make that a priority. All you got to do is just show up. Just be present. That'll be a statement enough. If you don't live in North Ridgeville, come anyway. Come anyway, because that still will show that this is something that really matters. And I believe absolutely God's going to work this out. We just want this to work out as quickly as possible. So I need your help on that. Sound good? All right. So there it is. And I'll talk about it. We got a couple more Sundays. I'll make sure to talk about it. Well, today we're continuing our playlist sermon series. And have you ever been disappointed in how you responded to something? Have you ever just kind of stepped back and you were like, boy, I kind of surprised myself there. In a bad way. You ever do that? Or am I the only one that has those feelings routinely? Well, I was reminded of this a couple weeks ago. Allie and I, we had one of those weeks where it was just a lot of bad news from different angles at once. I know you've never had that because everything works out perfectly for you. Just kidding. But we got just kind of a lot of it. And in the day where it all really seemed to hit, we got home. It was about 6 o'clock at night. And I laid on the couch about 6 and I fell asleep till about 8 o'clock. And then I woke up and I said, babe, I'm going to bed. And then I slept from 8 o'clock till the next morning. And then I got up and I was like, what just happened? I've literally been asleep for like 20 hours. And I realized that was my response to the stress. And I thought, I'm not super proud of that response. Like, I thought maybe I would, like, problem solve. I would pray. I would, you know, encourage my wife. No, I just went to sleep. Yeah. I'll deal with it sometime if I ever wake up. I was disappointed in my response. And today I want to talk about this, that our response is what really matters most to the events in our life. It's not that the events that happen aren't important or aren't a big deal. They are, but we can't usually control those. You with me on this? We can't usually determine if something big happens or it doesn't, but we can control our response. And that's what matters most. And that's what is in our hands. And if we can respond differently, we can create new realities in our life. Does that make sense? And that's what this series is about. That's what we're going to talk about today. So I want to talk about how can we respond better to really the negative and the tough and the difficult events in our lives. Because if you're like me, you can probably do better. I know I can. If you're like me, there's room for growth in that response here. I can't control the event. I can't control if the Browns are going to win or not. But I can control if I destroy something in the house. I can control that. And that's what matters most. So we're going to look again at Psalm 118, and we're going to see what David has to say about this. So my clicker's not working, so let me read it to you from the Bible. Here's what it says. Psalm 118, this is what we've been looking through. Verse 5. David says, out of my distress, there we go, I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. And we've said that Psalm 118, remember, this is David's response to this tough battle that he was in. He's kind of walking us through his mindset and his heart and what was going on and what he's learned after the fact. But if you remember, he was surrounded on every side. It looked like he was going to be run down by this enemy army, and it looked like it was the end for him. But he didn't give up, and he kept seeking God. He kept trusting God, and God brought an amazing victory. And David said, look, it wasn't because we were great warriors. God met us in this really tough spot, and he helped us. But I think David's response also helped him in that moment where he didn't give in to the fear and panic and just resign himself to a terrible fate. But he kept saying, what can I trust God to do in this moment? How can I keep calm? So I want to talk about three different responses today, different responses that you and I can have in our arsenal to respond to the challenges of life. Here's the first one. Call them, don't curse them. Say that with me. Call them. Don't curse them. That's the first response. We can learn to call on God instead of curse God or curse our life or curse what's happening. Here's the second one. Challenge them. Don't embrace them. Say that with me. Challenge them. Don't embrace them. That I want to challenge my fears. I want to challenge them. I don't want to just accept them. I don't want to accept what's going on in my heart as true. I want to challenge it with faith. And then here's the last one. We want to bless them. Don't stress them. Just say that with me. Say bless them then. Just bless them. Go ahead and bless them. Don't stress them. Just bless them. And David, we're going to dig into more of that. So these are three different responses, and let's talk through them. So call them. Don't curse them. Let's talk about that. Remember, David says, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. And I love the imagery of this phrase here in the Bible. The distress is this idea of the pressure in life. It's this idea of being sort of in a confined and a claustrophobic place. And doesn't stress and difficulty do that in life? It gives you that narrow focus where all you can think about is what you're worried about. All you can feel is the fear and the struggle and the weight. It's confining. It's like the walls begin to close in on us. I used to be claustrophobic when I was little. And man, did I hate elevators. Just please God, let that thing open up again. Let it open. Get me there. It's a very terrible feeling. And David said that's what I felt. I felt the pressure. And he was literally being pressured as the armies were surrounding him. But he said, but in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he set me free. And the word there is actually the opposite of this distress. Distress is confining, and he set me free. You could literally translate it. He put me into a spacious place. He took me out of this claustrophobic space in my heart, in my mind, in my life, and he moved me into a place of freedom and openness and green grass and sunshine and tacos. And it was beautiful. And so what do we see here? We see that David responded. He responded in this moment by calling on God and not cursing God for what was happening. Now, you may feel like, well, I don't curse God. I've never maybe done that, or I don't see that in myself. But maybe you don't go that far. But if you're like me, you still might have a tremendous capacity for bitterness and self-pity. And those are the most unhelpful responses to the pain and pressure of life. Bitterness and self-pity. Bitterness is just a sense. It's a sense that God's got something wrong in what he did. He's kind of messing up my life. And I might not say it explicitly, but that's really what I feel and what I think. And that's an unhelpful response. Self-pity. It's easy for me, if you're like me, to just, in the midst of some kind of pressure, just to begin to feel bad for myself. I have a great capacity for this. A few months ago, I have a speeding problem. And I had got a couple tickets kind of in a row. And the last one I got, Allie was with me. We were coming home from church, from serving God. And I happened to be going like 20, 25 over. And I got pulled over. And I got a ticket. And I was so angry. And, you know, I was telling Allie how upset I was. And I thought, you know, man, this is a horrible injustice. That's what I felt like. I told you I have a big capacity for self-pity. And I was feeling bad and Allie wasn't as helpful as she could have been in that moment. Cause she just said, what do you want? You were speeding. You got caught. You deserved it. That's what I had, church. Can you believe that? And I said, no, babe, this isn't about the speed limit. This is about justice. And I have a dream that there will be no speed limits. And I was getting just more amped up. I was looking online how to become a lawyer. I mean, I was ready to go. And then just a thought popped into mind. Maybe it was God. I don't know. But it just said, you're an idiot. Just shut up and pay the ticket. And don't speed. You're an idiot. But I have a big capacity for self-pity. And a smaller capacity for personal responsibility. But I'm hoping that with God's help, it's growing. And when life is painful, we can go to those places. It's not hard. It's not hard to feel bad for yourself. It's not hard to convince yourself that God's wronged you. It's not hard to just live in that space. It's not hard, but it's not helpful. It's not helpful. And here's what David does instead. He says, I called out to God and he set me free. Prayer is our greatest resource in the pressures of life. It's our greatest resource. Self-pity, bitterness, they won't help you. They'll make it worse. You'll just trap yourself even more. Maybe the circumstances trapped you. Well, now you've trapped yourself with self-pity and bitterness. But prayer, calling on God, will set you free. And a desperate prayer, a prayer that just says, man, God, I can't do this without you. Help me. Meet me. Do something in this area. That raw calling on God from the realest place in our heart is absolutely transforming. Because here's what will happen. If you call out to God, if you respond that way, if I respond that way, he will always set you free. Always. Now, how can I say that? Simply because of this. He will either change your circumstance or he will change you. And then you'll look at it, you'll deal with it differently. But either way, he'll set you free. And either way, you will be different because of how you responded. And even beyond that, when you see God set you free time and time again, it is going to nurture a deep and an abiding trust in your heart for God. And you're going to be like, I'm going to him first every time. I'm not going to curse him. I'm not going to fall into bitter. I'm not going to fall into self-pity. I'm going to just call on God. I'm going to annoy him with prayer until he does something in me or he does something in my life. You with me on this, church? That's call him, don't curse him. Let's talk about the second one. Challenge him, don't embrace him. And here's what David says. He says, the Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? Verse 6. And what is David doing here? He's challenging the fear in his heart. What can man do to me if God is on my side? You see that? It's kind of that self-talk moment. What do I really have to be so worried about if God's on my side? Who's going to outdo him? Who's stronger than he is? Who's wiser than he is? Who's more capable than he is? Who's bigger than he is? And he's on my side. And David is challenging his own fear in this moment. And I think that's a response we can embrace in our lives. Instead of embracing our fears, we need to challenge them with the presence and the reality of God. You with me on this? We need to challenge them. Because when fears come into the light of God's presence, they look so different. I remember when I was young, I slept over at my grandma's house. I was pretty young, like 28 or 29. Just kidding. And I woke up in the middle of the night in her room, and I woke up and I saw this dark hooded figure with like one of those old farmer hats on, you know, that kind of, I don't know what those are, but something like that. And terrifying. It looked like the guy from I Still Know What You Did Last Summer and the summer before. Some of you know that movie? Maybe not. And he had an eight foot knife, blood dripping on it. Maybe that part I embellished a little bit. But there's this dark-hooded figure, and I woke up and I thought, man, this is it. I'm gonna die right now. All these scary movies are true. That's what I thought. And so I said, you know what, let's just die with dignity. And I started crying and screaming, why me? And then I fell asleep. And I woke up in the morning, and now that there was light in the room, I realized that dark-hooded figure was like a sunflower bonnet and some old grandma dress on a mannequin. And suddenly it didn't look so scary anymore. I walked past it, did one of those, you know, what's up? What's up? And then I promised I would never tell anyone what happened that night. But I violated that. In the light, it looked different. It was not scary. I realized it was nothing to be afraid of. In the presence of God's light in your life, what you're afraid of, what you're struggling with, what you're going through will look different. It always does. And I want to learn, and this is something I'm trying to learn, I want to learn to respond to this kind of thing with an overcoming faith. I want to learn to be like David and say, the Lord is on my side. I'm expecting him to provide and to create a good outcome in this situation. I want that to be my default. That yet when things get bad and when the clouds come in and they're hovering over me, I want to be looking for and believing and expecting that God's going to break through in some way to help me and bless me. That's what I call overcoming faith. There's a difference between overcoming faith and accepting faith. And accepting faith is that when I just have to trust the wisdom and the purpose of God when the outcome is maybe what I feared most or what I did not ever want to happen. You with me on this? That's accepting faith, and that's real faith too. And that's super important. And there's times in life where there's no room anymore for overcoming faith. The person we loved, they're gone. They died. We prayed God would not take them. But God, in his wisdom and his purpose, he did. And so now I'm not worried about overcoming faith. That's accepting faith. But here's the thing that I know in me is I move to accepting faith too quickly sometimes. And I need to be more in overcoming faith. Where I keep saying, no, God, I am trusting you. I am asking you. I am expecting you. When it comes time for accepting faith, I will do that. But until that moment, I'm going to keep trusting and expecting you to rescue me, to set me free, to do a good work and a blessing in my life. Does that make sense? Overcoming faith. I want that to be my default response. I want to challenge my fears with it instead of embrace them and just let them run wild in my heart and in my mind. You with me on this, church? Challenge them, don't embrace them. Let's talk about the last one. Bless them, don't stress them. Bless them then, don't stress them. And David says, the Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. That's the verse, right? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. I'm not going to worry about those who hate me. I'm not going to stress them. In fact, I'm going to learn how to bless them. Because here's what David is saying. He's saying, ultimately, at the end of the day, God is in control of my life and God is in control of your life. Other people are not. People can't determine your potential. It's not ultimately in their hands. People can't determine your well-being. We shouldn't give people that power. If someone is a jerk to me and someone treats me like garbage, why should I give them the power to allow that moment to ruin me for the next couple days? I don't want to give them that power. I don't think they deserve that power. And I want to learn a better way. I want to learn a different response because I think there is one that is a lot better. And here's what David's saying. He's saying, look, my future is in God's hand. It's not in this army that wants to kill me. It's not in their hands. It's ultimately in God's. If God says this is my time to go, then I'll praise him for his wisdom and his mercy and his purpose. But God could still do something here. He could set me free. He could lead us to victory. And so I am not going to stress about them. I'm going to focus on God. And in our life, what if we tried to do that, but maybe do it a little bit different? And we would do what Jesus asked us to do. He said, bless those who hate you, who persecute you, who treat you wrong. Don't stress about them. God'll work in them. He'll take care of them. God'll bring justice. God'll bring vengeance. But God says, what I want you to do is to not be overcome by their ugliness and their brokenness, but to overcome evil with good and to even bless those who hate you. I think Taylor Swift got it right. Shake it off, right? Let's forget that I said that. Bless them, don't stress them. Look, your boss doesn't ultimately have control over your career. God does. The people who are in power, they don't ultimately have control over this world. Why are we stressing them? Right? The proverb says that the king's heart is like a river in God's hand. He turns it wherever he wants. North Ridgeville can say whatever they want. God's purpose will stand. So I'm not going to stress them. I want to learn how to bless them. I want to learn how to respond and not let people's ugliness ruin my well-being. I want to learn how to not be always so defensive and insecure in my own heart, but instead say, man, God's got this. God will work this. God sees, God knows, God cares. And so I'm free to bless people, even those that are wrong me. I want to bless people. I want to believe the best about them. Behind their back, I want to believe the best about them. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Do you want to be defined by one idiotic moment in your life? I don't. I mean, I've had more than I could count. And if someone just determines who I am based on that moment, that's no good for me. I want them to believe something better about me. I want them to give me the benefit of the doubt, and the way we can bless other people is doing the same thing for them. You with me on this, church? Bless them, don't stress them. And haven't you noticed too, stressing them doesn't really help, doesn't really do you any good anyway. All it does is eat away at you and eat away at me instead of maybe God doing something richer and better in us. So those are different responses. And really today, what I want you to think about is what does it look like when the events and the trials and the struggles of life come? How can I reframe my own mind and my own heart to see things differently so I can respond differently? I'm feeling pressure. I want to be bitter. I want to feel bad for myself. I need to step back and I need to reframe. And I say, whoa, let's try something different. Let's just try it. I'm going to pray diligently. All that stress I'm feeling, all that anxiety I'm feeling, I'm going to channel it into desperate prayer and see what that does. I'm going to reframe when I'm overwhelmed by fear and the obstacles before me. And instead of just living in that fear, I'm going to challenge that fear with faith. And I'm going to look through it of the lens of if God is on my side, if God is for me, if God cares about me, then how does that make this situation look entirely different? And I'm going to reframe when people wrong me, when people hurt me, when people are just mean and nasty, and when people are against me. I'm going to reframe, and I'm not going to stress them. Through Christ, I'm going to try and bless them. I'm going to try. If I can't bless them, then I'm at least not going to slam them or gossip about them or whatever. I'm going to try something different. And I just want to remind you that I think the biggest power of our reframing comes when we remember what Christ has done for us. That's what gives us confidence. David could say the Lord is on my side because he had an expectation that one day God was going to figure out this problem of sin and human brokenness for good. And that blessings and forgiveness would be offered to everyone because of what God would one day do. And that day came. Jesus Christ, he is the greater David. He is the true David. David was a great king, but Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great mighty warrior that David was just a shadow of. And there was a time where Christ, in John 18, he was surrounded as well, just like David. But he was surrounded by temple thugs and guns for hire and people with vendettas and jealousy against him. And he was surrounded, but unlike David, Christ had everything in him he needed to wipe out that crew in a blink of an eye. But he instead did not cry out for deliverance, did not ask God to set him free, but he willingly and quietly accepted defeat and death at the hands of his enemies. David cried out for help. Jesus just stood silently and took it. And he was surrounded, and he was beaten, and he was humiliated, and he was killed. He was forsaken, and he was abandoned. And just why? Why did it turn out so differently for Jesus? The reason it did is so that it could always turn out good for you. That's why. He accepted defeat so you can live in victory. He accepted sin so you can live in forgiveness. He accepted the wrath of God so you and I could live in the grace of God. He was abandoned by his friends. He was abandoned by his disciples. He was abandoned by God the Father so that you and I, like David, could always say with 100% certainty, the Lord is on my side. Because he wasn't on Christ's side in that moment. And that means he will forever, forever be on my side. Not because of who I am, but because of the defeat, which really wasn't a defeat, at the hands of sin, evil, and death that Christ took. And when you think about that, and when I think about that, and when it gets into my heart, it gives me the power to respond differently to what's happening in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you accepted defeat. Father, you could have called angels at your side and you could have wiped everyone out. No power could overcome you. No army could defeat you. No man could hold you down. Death itself lost against you. But Lord, you accepted it. You went to the cross. You died for us to give us life so that today, Lord, what we're wrestling with, what we're going through, what's overwhelming us, Lord, we're not in that fight alone, but you are on our side and you are our help. And so, Lord, we just say thank you. We thank you, Lord, that if you're for us, which you are, nothing can be against us. Even when it looks like defeat, even when it looks like evil wins, it's just an illusion. Because ultimately, Lord, you will turn it out for good. And so, Lord, I thank you for that confidence we can have. I pray we can live in it. And I pray, Lord, that we could see the hand of Christ moving in our lives and in our heart in a special way. And I ask this in Jesus' good name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.